Right. So in the US, the transport secretary has just ordered a full audit of the FAA's approval of the Boeing 737 MAX 8. So you'll remember that's the plane that went down in the Ethiopian Airlines crash. And there was also the Lion Air flight that was the exact same kind of plane. Here's the background. Essentially, what happened was Boeing was developing a new line of passenger jets, as I understand it, and it was determined to avoid expensive training. And then these two planes crashed, and the world found out what they were doing, because the black box from the Ethiopian Airlines flight that killed 157 people has clear similarities to that that Indonesian Lion Air flight that crashed in October, killing 189 people. I'm joined on the line by the managing editor at SA Flyer magazine, Guy Leach. Guy, thanks so much for coming on the show this afternoon.
Hi, Melanie. Nice to be with you guys.
I kind of gave a brief background, but can you just explain that what these planes were equipped with? They were equipped with the automated flight control feature called this maneuvering characteristics augmentation system. What is that in plain language?
Yeah, that's a tricky question to answer. But okay, let's give it one shot. As Boeing progressively developed the 737 series, the engines increased significantly in power. And if people remember the early 737s, they had small cigar-shaped engines. They were literally bolted to the bottom of the wings, and they fitted underneath the wings, which was great because it enabled the aircraft to sit quite low to the ground. It could carry its own stairs. It was really flexible for short-haul operations. But as the engines grew bigger and what is called having a higher bypass to make them more efficient, so they couldn't fit under the wings anymore. They had to put them in front of the wings and lower down. And if you remember, the previous generation even had engines that weren't round, that flattened the bottom to give them more ground clearance. To accommodate the aerodynamic changes of these engines, Boeing introduced this MCAS system, MCAS system, Maneuverability Controller Augmentation System, to make it easier for the pilots to fly them under low speed when they're flying them by hand, whatnot, with the autopilot. And what the system does is it effectively pushes down the nose if the pilots are putting on, if you like, too much power and the nose is going up too high, because that's what happens. The nose rises when the pilots increase the power. So it was trying to sort of protect the pilots from themselves, if you like. But this system has created its problems of its own in the sense that it's clearly been running out of control, and not just in the Lion Air crash and the Ethiopian crash, but there are many others. There are probably 10 other documented incidences where the MCAS system has tried to force the nose down against the pilot's wishes. So why does it do that? Well, it may be a bug in the software, but it's more likely to be just bad input of data to the system, what is called an angle of attack vane. Airbus, when they developed a fly-by-wire system or computer control, they put much more redundancy in than Boeing did for this particular system. And so if the one vane gets damaged by a bird strike or just because of bad manufacture, then the computer gets confused and the aircraft could well crash. That's what the issue is about. The big question is, did Boeing pressurize the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, to compromise their own certification standards? Because what effectively happens is that the FAA delegates a lot of very specialist functions to people who've got the skills to do them. And quite often, the people who have these skills are actually in the manufacturer's company. So they're effectively allowing the manufacturer to self-regulate. And that's where the questions have been asked at this stage.
So when Boeing came out with the upgraded version of the Boeing 737, what they said is, we have a bigger engine, we have a more streamlined plane, we have a more efficient plane, and we have a plane that doesn't require extra pilot training, which then meant that this Boeing 737 MAX 8 became a bestseller. Am I correct?
Well, I think that's largely true, yeah. What they didn't want to do was have to recertify it or have specific systems approved. So they created this MCAS system to run in the background. And just to be there to nudge the pilot if the aircraft was getting too slow and was beginning to do what we would call an aerodynamic stall, where it gets too high and then the wing loses lift and it starts having to descend. And they didn't really tell the pilots about that because they didn't want to alert them to these other sort of systems. It needs to be pointed out that Boeing did have a system in place to override us. They've called staff trim switch cutouts. And you can just switch this sort of system off to stop it trimming the plane and forcing the nose into the ground. And the big question that's been asked of the pilots in both the Lion Air crash and the Ethiopian crash is why on earth didn't they just do what they'd been trained to do and switch the, if you call it like the MCAS system out of the loop when the nose was starting to be forced down? That is the big question that is really being asked of the pilots, because as I've said, this has happened in a number of other occasions, and all the pilots did was they simply switched the switches to switch the system off.
So we know that Comair has one of them, right? And I think there are 367 around the world. There are 5,000 of them on order. What happens with all of those planes?
I've no doubt that, as I say in the classics, this too shall pass. In a couple of weeks, and actually that's the sort of time frame I'm guessing, Boeing will make a big fanfare announcement that they've now solved the problem. It's not really a difficult problem to solve. All they need to do is limit the effect of this MCAS system in terms of how far it can force the nose down. They need to put in different overrides. They need to put in maybe a little bit more redundancy in terms of the inputs it's getting, and they will say that the problem has been solved. Many of the airlines were quite reluctant to ground their aircraft in the first place, saying that, quite simply, our pilots are properly trained. They can deal with this. This was, if I may say so, Comair's response, and many other airlines, Southwest Airlines' response in the United States, one of the biggest operators of the 737 MAX series. And so a few simple modifications to the system will, I believe, solve the problem. It can probably be done within a couple of weeks and approved. But obviously the big question, as you pointed out in your introduction, is FAA and Boeing just too cozy? And is there any risk of the Federal Aviation Administration actually sort of rushing through an approval of the modification that's required? Simply because every day that passes must be costing Boeing hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties because of the aircraft that have been delivered but are not flying. The airlines are going to effectively be sending a bill to Boeing for these aircraft that are not earning their keep.
Guy Leach, the managing editor at SA Flyer magazine, thank you very much for stepping out of what sounded like a very nice lunch somewhere on this public holiday. I really appreciate it.